The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
When I was given this topic, the solution to worry, I thought that there was a sense of irony in this. In some ways, I'm a specialist in worry. I've spent many an hour at night, usually around about 2 o'clock, staring at the ceiling, particularly when I was managing about 50 staff at USQ, and sometimes fantasizing the worst that could happen the next day when I had to have that particular confronting conversation or various things like that. And of course, it was never as bad as how it felt at 2 o'clock in the morning. But nevertheless, there is this irony that here I am giving you a message about worry. And as you can see, the title, The Solution to Worry, we've set the bar pretty high this morning. So could you please join me in prayer as we consider this topic together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that instructs us, that corrects us, that trains us in righteousness so that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Holy Spirit, write that word on our heart, we pray today. Give us the will to be able to put it into action. Help me, Father, to teach accurately from your word. And we ask, Father, that indeed we would understand the antidote to worry at the end of this session. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, let's head in there. What makes you worry? There's all sorts of things that makes people worry. Questions like, will people accept me? How am I coming across to you when we're speaking? The fear of failure. Or maybe there's worries concerned to material needs. Lack of insufficiency of some sort. Have I got enough to be able to survive until the next pay? Who will look after me if I get sick and I can't manage my own affairs? Will I be able to live on the superannuation or pension? You know, each one of us has got their own different triggers that are specific to you. It appears even for Christians, worry and anxiety can grow from what are legitimate concerns and issues. And I've written there, worry is an outgrowth of legitimate concerns or issues that gets out of control or perspective. You know, it's right to be concerned for a family member who's ill. But sometimes that concern can turn into a crippling worry and anxiety, kind of a vortex of confusion and wondering what on earth is going to happen. Will I be able to get through this crisis? For me, I worry when I get outside of my own comfort zone. That is the zone where I'm not in control. And sometimes this is very trivial, but at other times it can be profoundly disturbing. And I had an insight into this, which was unforgettable for me, when in December 2019, Leslie and I were in the United States for the wedding of our son, Alan. Well, we had hired a car, a Chevrolet Malibu, that we had to drive from Union Station in Washington, D.C., and then drive south from there through Richmond, through Virginia, into North Carolina, and eventually into the north rural area of Georgia for the wedding. Now, the problem is with American cars, everything is on the wrong side. And to make matters worse, look at that picture very carefully. All the roads are the wrong way around. And you notice this particularly when you're doing a right-hand and left-hand turn. Okay, there are some critical issues that happen here. So, if that wasn't enough to arouse some anxiety in me, coupled to that, we didn't have any sat-nav. And we only had our phones and our iPads, and because we were too stingy, you know, we decided we'd manage on those every time we went into Wi-Fi and checked out maps and various things like that. So, even leaving the station precinct at Washington, getting out of the car park and doing all of those sorts of things, my anxiety levels were starting to go through the roof. Yeah, to the point where I could barely function. Actually, it was getting very serious. You know, I was not in control of my environment. The wipers were going on instead of the indicators. You know, it was dangerous, actually. And there were grounds for significant concerns. Now, somehow, I managed to calm down. And probably I was praying in desperation. But look, the reality was that my fantasies about the worst that could happen were far sort of stronger than the reality of what was happening. And the challenges were doable once I got over myself. We managed to travel over 1,000 kilometres to our destination on the right side of the road, except for one occasion when I forgot I was on the wrong side of the road, and arrive in one piece. The experience made me think, why do I worry so much when I'm not in control? Now, Jesus commands us not to worry. But there are times when crippling worry and anxiety can be a health problem. So I just want to add this proviso now. Sometimes this is caused by a chemical imbalance in your body. I want to be clear that what we're looking at today in terms of our passage is focusing on worry about material possessions, about whether there's going to be enough and whether we're going to see through life. I'm not talking about worry that's linked to some mental issues. Okay, so there are certainly times when we need to seek professional help for worry that we cannot manage. However, solid trust in Jesus is going to assist us through most parts of our life. And what I'm going to be attempting to do today is just help us get some perspective on our worries. Last week, James was teaching us from Luke 12. And what I'm talking about today really extends on from the teaching last week. Today's passage particularly challenges those who worry about their material needs and people who prioritize those as first and foremost. In the parable of the rich fool that we thought about last week, his problem was that he had a surfeit of good things and he was trusting in them for his future. He thought that he could arrange his affairs so that he could live the good life with all of his material needs taken care of. And then he could just sit back and take life easy. But just as his self-engineered contentment was in place, bang, his life was taken. Who gets his treasure now? And Jesus taught us this is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves but who are not rich towards God. James encouraged us to reject greed and to increase our enjoyment of God. And you may recall there were four things that we can do, and they're on the dot points up there on the screen. Remove heart obstructions and submit our wills. Ask God to be the center of our heart. work to increase our pleasure in God and trust what Jesus says. Now, today's passage concerns those or challenges those who are concerned that they haven't got enough to live on. It's not living out of surfeit. These are people who haven't got enough. You know, wealth can be a concern spiritually when you have it or when you don't. Let me read this passage for you as you follow the text on the screen from Luke 12. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Will be also." The key teaching from this passage is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Take a moment to ask yourself, what is my treasure? And we saw before how worry seems to have its own particular way of affecting each one of us. And it turns out each one of us have probably got their own private treasures, the things that you consider very valuable to yourself. You know, what is it that my heart dwells on? And what would break my heart if that treasure was taken away from me? One's treasure can be your clothes, your daily food and drink, your bank account, one's possessions, my library. Or it can be treasures in heaven that don't wear out. Treasures of the kingdom that God has already gifted to you. Jesus assures us today that as part of his little flock, the Father is pleased to have given us the kingdom. We'll come back to think about that a little bit more, but what more could we want? If the Father has already been pleased to give us the kingdom, what more could we want? Jesus asks us to consider the ravens, the crows. Jesus says that the ravens are not in control over their clothes. and food. They don't store up their treasures in banks or barns, but the Father is looking after them. They don't even store up toilet paper in their barns. You know, it's interesting that Jesus chooses ravens or crows. They're actually birds that are on the unclean list. If you read the list in Leviticus 11 about animals you're not meant to eat, well, ravens are on the list. So, you know, if you touch one or if you touch its carcass, you can be ceremonially unclean. And yet, God feeds them. Now, here's another unclean bird that you've possibly met at the beach. Okay, imagine sitting on the sand with your picnic mat spread out and you're having fish and chips on the beach. Who else is there with you? Seagulls. Okay, now, they're a bit different to the crows. They've got a little bit of FOMO occurring here as well, you know, fear of missing out. They want to be in on the action. But, you know, even the seagulls, and by the way, they're on the list of unclean birds as well. You're not allowed to eat them. But, you know, God looks after their needs too. He provides everything for them, even with their anxieties. You know, God looks after their environment. And Jesus assures us we are more important than birds. And the wildflowers. Think for a moment about the magnificent state emblems that we have in each state of Australia, the floral emblems, which consist of wildflowers that are in their natural state, you know, pre-cultivation. And they are amazing. You know, the wildflowers don't spend hours looking in online catalogues for what they're going to wear. They don't spend hours in shopping centres, checking out their colours and their clothes. You know, all of those things are sorted out for them. The flowers are not in control of their environment. And they don't seem to worry about whether God's looking after them or not. Coming back to birds, think about migratory birds. And that incredible instinct that seems to be built into those birds to be able to travel where they go in, for the summer or for winter. You know, what is going on in this situation? God somehow has hardwired these birds. He looks after them. He provides instinctively what they need. You know, we can learn a great deal from observing our natural environment about God's care for us. Now, the problem is, different to birds and the others, sometimes our legitimate needs are displaced by our greeds. And that seems to produce a number of worry-inducing concerns. You know, it's been very well said that God provides all our needs, but not for our greeds. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," not, "Lord, give me an endless supply of crayfish and caviar or choice cuts of prime rib." As nice as those things are, you know, each one of us has our pet greeds. A bit like pet worries and our treasures. You know, which greed is yours? Some, it's a new boat. Or a new flash car or motorbike. For others, it could be winning lotto. Or for me, it's a bit sad, it's music books and the latest set of commentaries or something like that. But, you know, it can also, greed can take the shape of desire for more power, more influence, more fame, or maybe just better holidays. But they are all things that can fit into this category. As we get older, a serious question arises with the things that we have. And that is, what's going to happen to all this stuff that I've accumulated? You know, any time you move, you have a wake-up call about this serious question. Have you experienced this? Now, I'm not a minimalist, but I'm told on good source that downsizing and minimalism seems to be all the rage on the internet. You can go on YouTube videos and see how to cut out the clutter in your house and do all of this sort of thing. And it seems to be the new virtuous way to be a minimalist. You know, tiny house, all of this sort of stuff. It's all the rage. And the problem is, though, anyone who's had the responsibility of disposing of a loved one's estate, you know that emptying a house or an apartment can be a big job. And one day, it will be my things. It will be your things. I can't organize packing a suitcase or a removalist to take my stuff off to heaven with me. And as we get older, you know, one's influence, power, and fame also tends to wane as we retire from our life's work. At least that's been my experience recently. And I'm reminded, I guess, as I get older, we arrive at birth with nothing and we leave with nothing. I think Jesus is teaching us something quite profound about simplicity in his message about considering the birds and the wildflowers. And then, just as I'm sort of relaxed about things, whoa, COVID-19. Now, there's a new set of anxieties and worries for us. Leslie and I recently spent 6 days in Melbourne for a family wedding, and we're just really grateful that we're able to have this, given what's just happening with lockdowns in Melbourne and Sydney. But, you know, prior to making our flight booking, I was very concerned about whether or not the trip would happen. And I kept my eye on the news feed on my phone and on the television and all that sort of stuff in order to catch the latest news about how many new cases there were and where lockdowns were and all that sort of thing so that we could book without fear of losing our money. So apart from the breathless media kind of encouraging me to be anxious about all of that stuff, as well as that, there are the border permits that you have to fill in and the QR codes and all of that stuff. Have I got my mask? And, you know, even on the plane, I was thinking, am I going to get a welcoming committee when I arrive at the airport? You know, a posse of hazmat suited police and authorities, you know, who are just there with their notebooks. They've got one of those swabs that they're just about to stick in my nose. Okay, all of that stuff. And maybe they might send me off to hotel quarantine. So I had all of that anxiety stuff happening for me. As it turned out, there was no waiting committee when we arrived at Melbourne. And there was none either at Brisbane. Nothing. All that anxiety and fantasizing about the worst that could happen was wasted. Yeah. The QR codes and masks in Melbourne were nothing. Once I'd done it a few times and it felt normal. You know, Jesus is right. Who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this, why worry about the rest? In fact, it appears worrying is probably a good way of subtracting an hour or two from your life rather than adding it. There's another way of looking at that verse, verse 25. It can also be read, who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to your height? Now, that's a very interesting question. How long is a cubit? Well, a cubit apparently is the length from the tip of your finger to your elbow. On the average person, it's around about 18 inches. Now, I would love to have an extra 18 inches. You know, I've always been slightly on the short side. I was wondering, you know, when I'd reached 21, whether I was ever going to grow up anymore, and I didn't. Had no control over that. An extra 18 inches might have been a little bit excessive, but at any rate, I can't do anything about changing my stature. And we've got no control by worrying it either. It's not going to extend our lifespan. So, perspective about what's really important is found in the priority of the kingdom. Jesus says, seek God's kingdom first, and all of these things will be added to you. And then he goes on to say, do not fear, little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You can't go wrong in getting what you want if you choose the kingdom. Jesus says, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. In other words, put kingdom first. Invest in the kingdom with your thoughts, your time, your possessions. And putting others first is the way to sow into eternity and into the matters of God. Jesus said in another place that the person who holds on to things for themselves will lose it. In verse 32, Jesus says that even striving for the kingdom is obsolete for the follower of Jesus. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is pure grace. In Christ, I have the kingdom. I'm in. I don't have to be anxious because God has gifted me the kingdom. What more could I need that would be better than that? A friend said to me on Friday, he said, Rod, love outdoes worry. Love outdoes worry. God's love for us is so deep. Allow that thought, God's love for you, allow that to penetrate into your being. God's love outdoes worry. So, that's why that statement about the Father has given us the kingdom is followed up by the instruction to sell possessions and give to the poor. In other words, to invest in imperishable things. An important question to ask yourself is, what does last forever? And the things that last forever are loving God and loving neighbor. They are imperishable attitudes. Going and making disciples and teaching others to obey Jesus are imperishable activities. They never grow old. They never wear out. They never have to be taken to the op shop after you're gone. You know, my fears about the worst that could happen to me need to be examined in the light that God has already given me the kingdom. You know, God has our life in hand. He will enable you to do what you were intended to do. Just as we have our own pet worries, you know, our own pet treasures, our greeds, there's also our own needs, legitimate needs, that God knows. Putting him first and putting the kingdom first, after all, Jesus Christ means King Jesus. In the kingdom, we are following the King. That leads to our fundamental needs in life to be met. And God knows what your needs are. Apart from the essentials of food, clothes, and shelter, he knows what your particular and specific needs are. And God does that amazing ways in each person's life. As a young person, I thought that trusting in Jesus with all my heart might mean that I had to give up a career in music. How wrong was I about Father God? And look how it's turned out for me 40 years later. You know, despite my fears and anxieties at various stages in my life, God has provided what I need at each point. And many of us, I think, in retrospect, as we look back over our lives, we can see, yes, God provided for me at every point. Even in the difficult times, God took me through. Now, as a young person, I really probably didn't have a perfect understanding about what it meant to first seek the kingdom of God. It was nevertheless what I decided to do. And, you know, God actually looked after us in an amazing way. For us, it was 10 years in Indonesia, raising a family in a foreign country, doing all of those sorts of things, finding a job when we came back. God looked after us at every point. We were singing before about being kingdom-minded. You know, with this mindset of being kingdom-minded, we can face the future. We can know that in Jesus, I am enough. You are enough. And with God, I can move through all that life offers to me, both pleasant and unpleasant. You know, being kingdom-minded, we can face the prospect of death and eternity with peace and confidence. Knowing that even on the way there may be waves of fear, Jesus will be with us. He's promised to never forsake us and leave us. Last words of the Gospel of Matthew, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." You know, Jesus is there as my friend, my companion, through everything. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. Jesus faced great fears at the Garden of Gethsemane. And God enabled him, even though it was a very difficult experience for Jesus, to be able to go through the whole horrors of Good Friday with the peace of God which passes all understanding. So Jesus knows what our lives are like. He will go with us. Jesus is bigger than pandemics. He's bigger than governments. With Jesus, everything will be okay. He'll give us the strength and provision to endure. And this is the treasure to trust in. That's what this passage today is telling us. In this life only, money, houses, cars, books, clothes, shares, they're treasures for this life only. And when we're gone, they're no longer ours. Investing our lives, though, in kingdom business is going to last forever and is going to leave a legacy. So, the topic of this sermon was the antidote to worry. What's the answer? What's the answer to worry? In our passage today, it's Jesus and the kingdom of God. So let's try and apply this now to where we are as we're sitting here. We need to count our blessings and reflect on them often about who I am in Christ. Make your treasure Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the things of the kingdom. And let's be realistic and God-centered about our earthly treasures and their value. I'd like us to just look at this passage from Colossians 3, 1-4. And please join with me in reading this passage, because I think it talks about the sort of mindset, the kingdom mindset that we need. So let's read together. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, when worry engulfs you, turn to Christ. Reflect on familiar passages of Scripture that remind you that God is in control and that He's going to provide and He is going to be with you in everything. Here's three suggestions. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The familiar grace passage from the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about our resources. And I found meditating on this grace is a very helpful way to get perspective. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's our resources. The Lord's Prayer sometimes has been called the Christian war cry, just reminding us that God is in control and that He is going to look after us. So, what is God saying to you today about this whole area of worry and care? And what will you do with what you've heard today? Gracious Father, thank you that you have been pleased to give us the kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would help us be kingdom-minded in the way we think about our lives, the way we order our priorities, the things we think about and speak about and do. Holy Spirit, empower us, we pray. Empower us to be obedient to your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you're with us always, as our friend, as our companion, as our guide, as our example, as our Saviour and Lord. We pray today, Father, that you would give us fresh resolve to follow you more closely, more nearly and dearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.